as we look at our world, nowadays you would say that most folk are living fast and furious. And in times like these, the youth are the one who are very vulnerable to a time period such as this. All of the things that I think that have been taught from early childhood by a church-going mother and father, a spiritual mother and father, just almost gone out of the wayside. You may be seated, nurses and nurses, lest I have you to stand too long, and officers. You know, it's hard to teach something, and then the children will go out into the world and be untaught by people who want to prey on them. And so we have to understand that we're living in a world to where you, even when they get up and be in college, even when they go off, you have to remind them that everybody who puts their arm around you may not be your friend. And I think a lot of them, Zoe, we understand that that's why they have lock on lockers. That's why they have, you got to be careful who you allow in your dorm room. You have to be careful where you go. In fact, you have to be careful who you befriend on Facebook. It is a time when Satan is using any media or any medium to try to reach not only our young people, but our college students as well. Satan used to, you have to go out to get sin. Now through cable, sin can be brought right to your couch. And a lot of our kids are watching stuff that they can't even go into the theater to see, but they can watch it at home with no supervision. And so we need to be aware in times like these. We need to keep on instruction. Instruction of a mother and father does not stop when the child turns 17. It gets more intense at that time to where you really have to stay on it. And a lot of times you've got to overcome some preconceived idea that they are smarter than you are. And so we have to understand that we're living in a time. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's a familiar passage of scripture where Paul in the latter part or the middle part of chapter 4 is telling John Mark to come before winter, and he was ready to be offered up as a sacrifice. But we're going to work with part of the first portion of that message, and I think it's appropriate for our young people as well as everybody sitting here. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when you got it, say you got it. All right, it reads on this wise. We're going to start at verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Put a line under that word, long-suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And verse 4 said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. And if I had to talk to you from a thought, I would talk to you from this thought, a time for awareness, a time for awareness. If anything that Jesus taught his disciples along with peacefulness and serenity was that he told them that they had to be aware, they had to be alert. Peter tells us that we ought not to be drunk, we ought to be sober. So that when the Lord comes, that we won't be caught. And that sober is not drunk with wine. To be inebriated or to be drunk with wine, sober means to be alert. And so we have to understand that God wants us to be alert along this pathway. At one point in the scripture, he tells us that you've got to be wise and you've got to be strong and you've got to be able to think on your feet and harmless as a dove. So here it is. The Christian has a manageable thing, but it's difficult at times to treat everybody with love along the way. I don't care what you say. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. It's hard to love somebody at first sight. Now, people say they believe in love at first sight. But the thing about it is that it's hard to love somebody at first sight. It's just our nature that we are alert, an alarm goes off, especially if we observe some different things. So Timothy says, he's telling here, now what I'm told is that I've got to preach the word. I've got to be strong in a place where everybody else is going against the grain. Have you ever noticed how your young people thinking has transformed now? To where there are some things were taboo, there were some things were the no-no, and now everything goes. No matter what you want to do, it's your thing. You know, if you want to get a bottle and get drunk and fall out, it's all right. There's certain things about respect. And so here it is. He's told, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And first he says, God is looking at us. Young people, you're singing in the choir, you're doing different things. Not only is God watching you, there are other children watching you. You are a leader whether you want to be one or not. And so the thing about it is it is up to us as children of God and as young leaders, we have to continue to stay on the doctrine. And that's what he's telling them here. You got to preach it in season and out of season. In other words, when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Because people are buying lies for the truth. Everything that you see on internet is not truthful. And so we need to understand, and that's why we tell any college student that goes off, when you're on Wikipedia, do not, if you want to be entertained, that's fine. But Wikipedia, as far as a dictionary or getting anything off of it, don't do it because it's not authentic. And you will think you're writing something for a paper, something like that, and you will get a straight F because anybody can go on Wikipedia and change anything. And so you have to be well aware of that. Don't do research on Wikipedia. Do the search engines they give you on your handouts when you're there. He says, now Timothy, what you need to understand is that some folk are not going to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it anymore because, and I'll tell you why. You see, there is no conscience where there is no Jesus. In other words, if I get Jesus out of my way, then I can do whatever I want to do. If I can say that there is no God, then anything that I do is acceptable. Are you with me here? And that's what the world is trying to say now. Well, is there really a God? Yes, it is. There is a God. And there is a God who has set in effect some things that we shall and shall not do. And the thing about it is that we all going to have to answer for those things. He says, now, we're talking about people who are supposed to be Christians are getting mixed up in the world. It's okay. We got to live in this world, young people, but we don't have to get mixed in the mix. In other words, if someone is out in a circle smoking cigarettes, I still can be friends with them, but I don't have to be in the circle smoking cigarettes. I can still be with those friends. And what I'm telling you, you don't have to do what the others do. We have to go in certain stores that might sell other things that we're not proud of, but because out of necessity, we go through it. I remember as a kid growing up that they had on Sundays what were called blue laws. They had the rest of the store roped off. You couldn't buy clothing or anything like that or any other lawnmowers or disposals. You couldn't do that. You could buy medication, and you could buy food. Now, they call them super centers, and you can buy anything in there that you want. And so we need to understand that the world now is a super center where you can get anything you want. And if you don't have a conscience and a Christian conviction, you will get caught up in that super center. You know, a lot of times folk, I've seen them that they come from all over the world, and this one Russian worked with me out at BP, and he would come in and he says, Lee, I tell you, he says, man, it is just amazing how much food you have on the shelves, and America is so great. And I said, yeah, but that's not the only thing you can get off the shelves. And you have to understand, it's just like in a store, you don't have to be so amazed with what's going on, that you're caught up in the fray. Young people, there are some things designed for you to be brought you did. Why do you think on college campuses they have little cars who are decorated and they got the little Red Bull on the top of it and they hand out mustard drinks and Red Bull? That's to get you hooked on mustard and Red Bull and make you think that if you have that in your system, man, that's all you need. You can drive for 1,200 miles on a Red Bull. That's how they try to sell it to you. But honey, only Jesus is what you need in your system in order to have place in the world. We have to understand that the world is trying to replace God. He's trying to take out Jesus out of everything we do. So here he says, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear you preach the word. They don't want you to tell them. You can see that on your job. Those of you who are still working, walk in and say good morning. Or start talking about Christ and see what kind of reception you get. Or I don't want to talk about that. The thing about it is that now, a lot of times when they have different functions, we always used to start it out with a prayer. Now we start it out with a drink. And so they are moving further, as he's saying, because the sound doctrine cuts to the very core. God's words are like a double-edged sword. They cut going and coming, and that's from the pulpit to the door. Nobody is immune to it, but if I can put it in my head that there is no God, then the sky's the limit. Young people, the sky is not the limit. So here it is that they will be after their own lust. So they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I don't want someone who's biblically based to tell me anything. I don't want anybody that bless their food. I don't want anybody to tell me that I'm doing wrong when I'm living the way I'm living. Amen? And so you don't need to tell me all of those things. So what I'm going to do right now, since that's the way you preach and you teach, I'm going to go find me somebody that will tell me what I want to hear. I think it's almost like Burger King where it says, have it your way. That's what church is almost like, young people, because I tell you what, do we want some devotion? Nah, you can cut that. It's almost like ordering a hamburger. Just cut that. I don't need that. What about meeting and greeting? No, you can cut that too. What about preaching? No, you definitely cut that. Don't put that on there at all. Well, what about a singing? Yeah, give me a double helping of that. And that's where we are. We're looking for folk to heap up stuffing something and different stuff that makes us feel good. The Word of God makes us feel good, but it also makes us feel bad because it is part of God's conscience that is written for us to see that we ought to observe along the way. And so we have that much of God in us that we already know that he is, and he is the only one. You have churches all over America now who are not talking about sin. They're not talking about treating your fellow man wrong. They talk about money and wealth, and they talk about getting to the top of the world. You can't get to the top of the world without Jesus. And that's the main ingredient. You can't bake a cake without sugar and baking powder and all the other ingredients that you put in it. You have to have all the ingredients. And in your life, if Jesus is not one of the ingredients, you're living an unfulfilling life. And so we need to understand that you need to hear the word. I don't know about you, but I can't go very long without hearing the word of God. It's just something about it. I know that we were on vacation last week. We went to Hot Springs. We went to church. But it wasn't like being at home. It was good, but it wasn't like being at home. And so here it is that you want to hear the word. You want to be fed the word. And yes, when you're fed the word, young people, sometimes it hurt. And mothers and fathers and grannies and grandfathers, sometimes you've got a hurt to help. You can't be at odds with mama. Whatever mama do, you need to get her and talk that over before you make a decision. Because children are smart these days, right, Amari? They're smart. They know that they can play you against the other one. We used to try that when we were kids. Sister Nelson, go ask my mama, can I go? And she said, well, go ask your daddy. And I said, now, daddy, mama says all right if you go. She didn't say it was all right. She told me to go ask him. And so a lot of times we think we're getting by when we're not getting by. And so the thing about it is that we have to understand that we've got to be on the same page. Doctrine, iron sharpens iron. Doctrine sharpens us so that we will know how to handle the world. So the kind of like we cannot make it without the foundational place of the Bible in the home. And I think that's what's really happened, is that we've taken the foundation of God's words out of our home, and we're leaving up to the world and politicians. And I agree there are certain things that the Supreme Court ought not to be ruling on. And so we need to understand that a lot of things have gotten out of hand. He says, and they will turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned into fables. Tell somebody the truth. Say, well, this is the way it happened. No, child, this is the way I heard it. No, you got it wrong. I said, well, I got it from an official source. No. They lying to you. This is the way it happened. See, nobody want to hear the truth. It's too plain. It's too naked. They don't want to hear that. So have you ever said a story? People, when they're telling you a story, not only do they change the story, but they change their expression. They scoot close to you, Karistine, and they want to whisper to you, but they're talking loud so everybody can hear. And so here it is, they've changed it. And every time the story is told, it's what? It's a little bit different. Amen. And so here it is. We need to stay with the story, his story. We need to stay with the Bible, and that way we won't get it wrong. But here it is, it says, they're going to turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that I'm living the way wrong. I'm living fast and furious. I'm doing some things. Living fast and furious will get you in trouble. We had a young man who just lost his life early part of this week or last week, we'll say, behind that same thing, going to an untimely grave. Number one, simply because being at the wrong place. And number two, don't know when to shut up. Let me tell you something, young people. You don't have to have the last word. Now, I can't guarantee you walking away from someone who's crazy and deranged is going to save your life. But in most cases, it will. If you just walk slowly away. Put up your hands and say, hey, I'm through with it, and leave the area. Now, they have some evil because Satan is busy, and he want to take Christians off the scene. And so we have so many young men. We lost a young man at one of the local clubs simply because of doing the wrong thing, being in the wrong place, underage, receiving a gun from somebody else. Young people, Satan is busy. Satan is not going to walk up, and like you used to see in the little books with the little pointed horns and the pitchfork and the pointed tail, that's not Satan. Satan is determined to destroy you, and he will use any means necessary to get the job done. And so you have to understand that everybody, this is the way you go out your friends, and I'm not going to be very long here. This is the way you go out your friends. I said two things. Number one, you can tell a person, now, don't get me wrong on this, but if you are going out to eat and every time you go out to eat, you got to pay. And every time you got to drive, it's something wrong with that. Even a person who may not be able to pay can say, well, let's go Dutch on it. We'll pay half and half. Are you with me here? You have some low riders that will attach themselves to you just to suck whatever you have. And if you don't watch it, they'll suck your religion too. Because what they do is they compete, because when you want to go to church, they want to go party. And you have to understand, as we told Daniel in Chrissy and Shelby, and they all know, and Zoe, when you go there, you're not going to school to party. Sometimes you got to tell your friends, no, I got to study. I got five papers. You know what having five and seven papers to do at a time, and they all within that same week? You know what that's all about? You stand up burning midnight oil. Now, how you going to burn midnight oil and get the paper done and your party in the next juke joint? Let me explain that. Juke joint is nothing but a party house. That's a club. And all the club want is your money. And so here it is, and that's one of Satan's hideout. You need to understand that you need to be aware. Young people, be careful. If you do and you are drinking alcohol, if you leave the table, don't drink the drink. Amen, lights. If you're drinking water, there is no one, unless it's granny or mama, that you can leave your drink with, that it's already open and come back. Don't trust anybody. And I'll tell you why. It's not that they're going to do something to it. They'll get detained by something else. And somebody can slip something into your drink. Satan is busy. And so, and not only to the ladies, these are guys. You got to be careful who you hang with. If you're drinking Kool-Aid and you got to go to the bathroom, throw that one away and get you a fresh one. And you better know what party you're at. Because they can spike the whole thing. You need to understand that Satan, and he says, so we're talking about this. This is treacherous. This is fast and furious. It's living on the edge. And if you don't watch it, but see, they're smart. They're just like alcohol. Alcohol will take you to the party. It'll get you ready for the party. It'll take you to the party. And it'll start on the way back home with you until the cops stop you. Have you ever noticed that? The alcohol leaves. And you go to jail. You have to understand that Satan is working his work. He is on this earth walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. When the sons of God and the angels got together, here comes Satan. Satan, where are you going? I'm walking to and fro seeking whom I may devour. Have you considered my servant Job? You need to understand that Satan is on his job. So the foundation that Timothy is talking about, you've got to take it with you every day. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. You can't let it down. You need to understand there's so much that you've got to watch out for. People will tell you falsely. Rather than saying, I don't know, they'll tell you anything. And so you need to be good. I would say a lot of time as far as instruction, most of our phones, iPhones, and iPads have what they call a GPS on it, and they will take us as we were traveling. They take you, but you have to be careful with that, because OnStar and all of those other global things are put in by man. And one man drove off in a water in a lake because he depended so much on his GPS system that he wasn't going aware of where he was going. Young people, you have to be careful. Sometimes you can get so caught up with where your friends are leading you to where you end up in a bad situation. And so we need to understand that people want to talk about fables and want to go different things. That's not what you're about. You're going to be a Christian, and you're going to be a dedicated Christian is your goal. It's okay to glorify God. It's okay to praise God. It's okay. And this is what we asked our children and those we come in contact with. If you, and I would get on Daniel a lot of times, and we know the music. I don't buy the music. I guess in a roundabout way, I guess we do. But as far as buying him a music thing or whatever, now they can download it. Netflix is another one that they have on their phones. But I was telling them, when you come in the driveway, you've got to have some respect. Music, you can hear it from 18 blocks away. It doesn't make any sense. Come in the driveway, neighbors and stuff like that. I said, Daniel, you got some older people living in the neighborhood. Hey, man, you got to have some respect. And how can you say that you're a Christian listening to junk like this? You're doing a different representation. So you're representing one thing on Sunday morning, but during the week. And so I did get in to turn it down about four octaves. but it was still loud enough for folk to hear. But every time he would, this is the repetitiveness that we've got to do as parents, it's still too loud. And you need to respect yourself, you need to respect God and the neighbors. And so the thing about it is that we have to understand, young people, that you've got to respect God. You've got to understand what you're conveying to the world. Because again, you are a leader whether you know it or not. There are a lot of folk, there are a lot of children out there, and I'm getting ready to end this up. There's a lot of children out there that will be willing to take your place because they don't have a fourth of what you have. They don't have the clothing. Most of you sitting right here got your own cars. When I was, I'm like Jesus, I walked everywhere I had to go. Y'all are blessed. When I wore Guess jeans too, but you had to guess what kind they were. You are blessed. God has blessed y'all. Y'all can go to any store and to these ladies and those ladies that do have. And we're not going to get very deep in that. But the thing is that we can change our hair 5 times a week. And that's $200 or $300 a shot. You are blessed. That's for another message. But what I'm getting at you is that we ought to glorify God. We ought not to be so interested in a lot of materialistic stuff that we need to keep based and we need to let folk know it's okay to have fun. It's okay to have good things. But we want to put everything in perspective. We want to make God first and then family and then ourselves and what we are trying to achieve. Amen? And so they're going to turn unto fables. They want to hear it. They don't want to see a good documentary that's really true. I want to see some false stuff. And I think that's another thing that's wrong with society today is that they have so much false stuff on TV that it's hard to tell the real from the fake. And so here it is that, you know, we have knockoffs now. You have Louis Vuitton and you have Gucci and Chanel. I know they look good, but chances are you might have gotten a knockoff. If you didn't buy it at one of the major stores, and even at that, you might have bought a knockoff. If man can make material that will fool you, what do you think about Satan? He makes material, too, that can fool you. But let us move on. He says, now here it is in verse 4. He says, but watch thou in all things where you all sigh. That means in front, behind you, to the right and to the left. You need to be aware in times like these. If someone approaches you in the wrong way, you need to be on a solid foundation. You need to be like Jesus when he was baptized by John and came straight out of the water and went into the wilderness. And here's Satan. Come on, man, I'm glad to see you. You know, I'm going to show you the pinnacles of the world if you do that. If you turn these stones to bread, you know, hey, man, you're going to be all right. He says, thou shalt not live by bread alone. You've got to be equipped with the word of God in order to fight Satan. You cannot do it on your own. But he says, you got to watch in all things. Watch where you go. Watch what you say. And please, please, please watch what you put on Facebook. Because businesses now, you're going to graduate. And they have, why do you think they ask you for your email? And why do you think they ask you for your password? Because they can go in and they can learn from grade school what you've been doing. And sometimes your job or your future depends on it. You need to have understand that they have, you leave cookies wherever you go. That's what they call them. And that's why if you order a pair of shoes, all the shoe companies in America start sending you mail. So you have to be careful where you go. There are some things that we have to understand that we don't say, we don't do, and we don't go. Because I'm a firm believer that association brings about assimilation. If you're hanging there long enough, they're either going to affect you or you're going to affect them. He says, but endure affliction. Sometimes friends and acquaintances are going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you real bad. You're going to trust them with your money, and they're going to hurt you. They're going to pay you back Tuesday, but they just didn't say what Tuesday and what year. You're going to lend them something, and they're going to break it and not even think anything about it. They'll tell you you got stolen or whatever. Young people, you have to understand. And not only to the young people, to the whole congregation, we have to be careful. Because friends that we trust, when we trust and give away all of our trust to those friends, put not your trust in man. Because man is frail and will let you down. But the God that I serve, Jesus Christ, will always be there with you and will never, never, ever steer you wrong. He will never guide you into a situation. In fact, he won't put any more on you than you can bear. And God will go with you. Is it going to be some tough time, Timothy? Yeah, man, it's going to be some tough time. It's going to be some lonely days. It's going to be some times when you try to witness that nobody's going to try to hear it. You're going to find out that even on campuses, they are cults who are trying to draw you away from the true religion to go with those. You have to be careful with that because everybody you meet on campus and want to pick you up and take you to church. No, you go to church, ride the bus. You go where you can leave. And so we need to understand that you're going to have to do the work of an evangelist. Young people, you need to serve God while you have the chance. You need to serve God from right now, which you are, and we're grateful for that, until you're adult and all the way through that. Because once you signed up with Jesus, there's no turning back. And so the song was saying, we'll follow him all the way. Wherever he leads me. Now, that's a tough one right there. Because every now and then, God will lead you through a pathway of pain and suffering. But when you come out on the outside, on the other side, you're the better for it. Sometimes God will send you through some pain and suffering through relationships and even, yes, even professors who don't give a care that you're there. They can take off whenever they get ready, but you miss a paper or be late or you miss a class and they will throw it for you. You have some professors, like one of them told one of the children, my job is not to pass you, my job is to fail you. Yeah, that's the way they're talking now. In other words, see, that is that if I got 130 in my class, I got 130 of the papers to grade, or my TA's got it. And if I can get you out of my class, and I can get it down to 30 or 40, my job is going to be a whole lot easier. You have to understand that you've got to be the executor of your future. And not in some professors. Tell the professor, I came here to learn. Be quiet, be alert, and do your work. You don't have to fraternize with them. The thing is that you just do your job. It's like the Christian life. Do what God has given you, and you'll be all right. I'm a living witness that if you keep God first, is it hard? Yes, because we've all attempted to go against the grain of Jesus Christ. But he says in his word that if we obedient, he's faithful to us. And even when we're not obedient to his word, guess what? God is faithful to us. And so we need to understand that Timothy has given us some good thing. He says, make full proof of your ministry. And this is why it's good as a close. You don't want to ever say, I wished her, I could have, I should have, or I would have. Do what you know you can do right now. Don't put it off for tomorrow, because guess what? Tomorrow is not promised to you. I don't care how old you are. Just because you're young don't mean you live to get old. You see that, all you got to do is pick up the obituary page. You have to understand that you've got to be aware of your surroundings. There is so much going on in this world that you need to be aware. And young people, as I close, it's all right to watch the news. Have you ever noticed how young people don't watch the news? You're getting ready to go to work or you're getting ready to go to class. You don't know which direction to take. Do you know you can save some time when you listen to 13 or 2 or 11, whichever your flavor you like, and you're traveling up life's highways, and they say it's a wreck on 45 and 5321 or 2351, you can go Highway 3 or take 35, simply because you knowing where danger is ahead or it's already happening, amen? And so we've got a good system. We've got a great channel other than 13, 2, and 11, and that's the channel, Jesus' channel. And if we channel into him as we're traveling the King's Highway, he will warn us that danger is ahead. Have you ever said, I'm going to go this way or go that way, and when you get home and you watch the news, it's so good that you went a different way because something drastic happened. God will guide you and keep you, and he's able to do that without ever failing. In fact, he can do everything but fail. So young people, what I'm trying to tell you today is that you need to be aware. It's a time to be aware and alert of your surrounding. Don't let anybody dupe you. Don't let anybody fool you that Jesus is not alive. Because every now and then I feel him in my spirit, moving on the altar of my heart, letting me know that even though things look bleak, weeping may endure for a moment, but joy, oh joy, meko joy will come in the morning. Just hold on, and I guarantee you, if you hold on, God will walk with you. He'll talk with you and get you through all of those things that you need to do. Be like Timothy, be alert, be aware. Don't just fall for anything. Stand on, if somebody asks you about something, say, I got to go check it out first. This is the checker. Just like you've got spell check on your computer, this is the word checker. This is the truth checker. Have one with you. Don't just put it in your bureau drawer in the college dorm or at home or on a table. Check it daily, because this is the way we know what God wants us to do. Amen. And so my request to you today is just get right with God. Walk with God. Talk with God. Acknowledge him every day. And I believe that we'll all be better for it. Amen. It's a time to be alert. It's a time to be aware. It's a time to stand fast on what you believe and what you've been taught. Don't change it. Don't change it. There are even a whole lot of new Bibles, and I'm not talking to, there are some easy reading Bibles, but it ought to mean the same thing as what we were raised up on. Are you with me, young people? You've got a beautiful future ahead, and you've got, you know, there is no limit. The sky's the limit. But I'm going to tell you this, you've got to do it. If you want to be successful, you've got to do it with God. You can't be successful without Christ. Even if anybody is a billionaire and they tell you they made it, if they don't have Jesus, they're just a rich person on the way to hell. You need to understand. You need to come today while the blood is running warm in your vein. If you out of the ark of safety never have confessed Christ, this is the time to do it. For we know not the day or the hour when God is going to come in, but we can be assured that one day he will dismiss us from this world. Amen. And so we have to be ready, for Jesus will be coming back one day. He died and gave his life on Calvary so that we would have the right to the tree of life. He gave his life, stayed in the grave 3 days, but early Sunday morning, the text says, he got up with all power in heaven and in earth at his disposal. Why would you not trust a Jesus, a man with a plan for your life? Will you come?